And what a great Tuesday it is. Relentless Positive Radio Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team is here. And it's an especially good moment because we're starting the show with an old friend who used to do reports for us when I did the morning show for nearly 30 years. And she has been around a very long time, the Chief Economist Managing Director at KPMG US, periodically advising the Congressional Budget Office, the Council of Economic Advisors for the White House on a nonpartisan basis, a fellow of the National Association of Business Economics. The list goes on and on, but most importantly for me, Diane earned her bachelor's and master's degrees in economics with top honors from the great University of Michigan. And she regularly contributes her time and other resources to support the economics department at U of M. She earned a master's degree in finance and strategic planning with top honors from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, where she also remains involved. What a pleasure and privilege to welcome back to the program Diane Swank.
Paul, it's just so great to be here.
It's so great to have you
here.
It's
kind of a homecoming, you know? I love coming back. This is wonderful.
It is a homecoming, and there's a lot of people here who can't wait to hear you speak, so we're thrilled to get you on before you take the stage. You've got a forecast that, frankly, has been stronger than many economists have expected. You also describe inflation as hotter for longer. Are we entering a period where Americans have to choose between stronger growth and higher prices, in your opinion?
Sadly, I am worried about that. What I worry about is, much like, you know, stock market returns compound over time and people build wealth, mm-hmm. we've seen 5 years now of the post-pandemic inflation compound, and the level of prices are out of reach for too many. And that gets to the inequality that we're seeing. I was looking up at the numbers, and it's something that I focus a lot on as a labor economist. Back in the 1970s, which when I grew up as a kid here in the Detroit area,
yeah.
you know, that was a really hard decade, the 70s. And we had double-digit inflation, we had stagflation, we had high unemployment. Yet something unusual is, you know, inequality hit its low on income inequality, so post-World War II low, in 1980. And there wasn't as much wealth because the equity markets didn't do anything. So the inequality wasn't there. And the pain that we felt as an economy was more shared than it is today. And now you have this sort of inequality where you've got a very small percentage of households carrying economic gains and buoying inflation, even as the majority of households look at the economy and say, I think we're in a recession. I don't feel good, because they've seen their purchasing power erode.
Diane Swank, Chief Economist Managing Director, KPMG LLP. You, in fact, ended one of your forecasts by saying, we are closer to the Gilded Age than the 1970s because of rising inequality. So for the average American listening today, what's the single economic indicator that we should all pay attention to over the next year or so to understand whether conditions are truly improving for most people, not just for financial markets?
Yeah, the biggest issue is, can you easily afford your food and to fill up your gas tank? And what I worry about is there's an echo effect from the crisis in the Middle East, currently in a ceasefire, and we hope that sticks. But, you know, fertilizer costs, diesel costs, all the things that go into our food supply, once it comes to fall harvest and into 2027, I worry that that could be another bump up. And even though the Federal Reserve doesn't have control over food prices and all of those kinds of things, those are important because they're at the same time that the service sector is still showing a lot of inflation. And that is hard. It's harder for people to afford health care than it once was. Elder care is really hard, a growing problem in the United States, and there's fewer people working in it now.
Diane Swank, you've identified several major risks, from the Strait of Hormuz and global energy disruptions, tariffs, trade uncertainty, persistent inflation. If you had to choose one event or trend that most dramatically alters your outlook over the next 12 months, what would it be and why? Now, I'll take off the table the solving of this Iran war, because it's Tuesday.
We don't know what's going to happen by Friday.
My God, by Friday, any number of things could happen.
Yes,
so
yes.
To me, it doesn't count. Frankly, to me, even when they sign the papers, if they do sign them on Friday, it doesn't count because they lie, and they always have. But what else is there?
You know, sadly, right now, and I hate to say this, is what matters the most in terms of the overall economy is the stock market. And I never thought I would be saying that. And it's not because I think that's a good thing. I think that's because we've got 20% of households accounting for more than 50% of consumer spending, and they're carrying the economy. That is hard for those who are lower income, the bottom 80%. You know, I mean, come on, the majority of households here. And it's part of the reason why we see this decoupling between what consumers say about the economy and how the economy performs on paper, because it looks better on paper than it feels to the majority of Americans. Mm-hmm. But that stock market buoyancy, the wealth effects have never been this large. And they're adding about 1% to consumer spending right now. When consumer spending was growing less than 2% last quarter, that's over half just because of the wealth.
I can't help but feel that with AI, something I clearly don't understand as well as my kids do, for example, that we might be missing the boat on one of those opportunities that is before us. But I don't know where to go or how to play that. And other than, I know it's happening in our 401ks and our mutual funds and all of that. But what do you think about, you've called it one of the brightest spots in your forecast, is the AI investment boom. Talk to me.
So there's two things about it. One is it is supporting investment that's helping the economy grow. It's also, though, the costs associated with AI are coming before the productivity gains, which means for most people is that it's more expensive because we've got this huge boom going on. And it's not that the companies that are investing in this are constrained by money. They're constrained by physical infrastructure. And there's a lot of backlash to it, which I'm tracking as well, because I think it's important to understand where people are seeing it. And AI has become, it's got a lot of potential. As a cancer survivor myself, you know, I was in the World Trade Center on 9/11. 20 years later, in the middle of a pandemic, I had cancer everywhere in my body. I had 13 surgeries during the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, my.
And I'm still here and kicking, and I'm really glad. And, you know, the thought that...
You are the picture of good health.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
You really are.
I run a lot. I work out like crazy, and I still got some issues I'm dealing with. But you know what? You got to keep going. Never give up, as my dad always said. But it is important because, you know, like, to think that I could have caught some of these cancers earlier, you know, instead of in the middle of a pandemic, when, can you imagine when it was like, I mean, I was literally in and out the same day, double mastectomy, reconstruction, you know, in and out the same day because I had cervical to have a hysterectomy. I mean, that was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of promise, but it's going to take a while to figure out how to use it right. And I think we need to be thoughtful about that.
Diane, you mentioned something about controversies or things holding back. You're talking about data centers?
Yeah, there's a lot of backlash. And also, there's a lot of companies states and people that are upset about how AI is being used on children and bullying children. And those are things that are legitimate concerns. And we need to think about the social contract as well.
Chief Economist, Managing Director of KPMG LLP, the keynote speaker here at the Detroit Economic Club, and you got to hear from her first. Diane Swonk, so good to see you.
Oh, it's great to see you, Paul.
We continue in Focus on WJR.